So you ready?
Yes.
Okay, can we hear stuff? Yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
Can you hear stuff?
Yeah.
I can hear some things.
So you want to hear the theme song that I wrote this morning?
Should I hear it first and then play it again and then start recording? Or
I'm recording right now.
Oh.
That's good.
Ooh, there's a shocker.
Now,
like this kind of shocker?
Don't be afraid to tell me if you love it, all right? Because I put a lot of work into this song.
How much work? Like hours or days?
I'd say at least an hour.
At least 1 hour?
Yeah. This is I bought an ornamental. I'll give you the backstage after you hear it, all right? Here you go.
Okay.
This is the name of our show.
Pretty fucking good, huh?
That's awesome.
Oh, see what happened? I went to Value Village.
I thought it was going
to
be horrible, actually. I thought it was going to be some like little like kids strumming a ukulele.
Be fair, that sucked. That was terrible.
No, that's not that bad. I thought it'd be way, way, way worse. It's like Logarian Space Edition.
What happened is I went to Value Village and I got a ukulele for, fuck, my cords are all fucked up here.
Yeah, so are mine. I have like cords everywhere. We're going to do something here.
I got a ukulele for,
there we go,
like fucking $1.99.
Really?
Clearly ornamental. Like it was like somebody like made it themselves, whittled it out of wood or whatever. Didn't have any real strings.
Okay, how many strings did it have?
Five, I think. But they're just like
five?
All little...
Isn't there supposed to be four?
I don't know. Maybe it only had four. I don't even know.
Okay, then you had all.
And they were all just little like plastic ones. They were not even real strings. It was a fucking piece of shit. But I was like,
okay,
fuck this. I can write a theme song on this, bitch. Nothing can stop me. So I wrote it, and that's it.
Okay, so that's your theme song. So then my task for the week is to make a theme song for next week.
Right.
Then maybe we can take a vote and see who likes whose theme song better. But so far, I like yours, and I haven't even made one.
I'm thinking every time I can find a cheap, shitty instrument somewhere, I'm going to make a new theme song.
Well, Chris, my fag landlord.
Right.
You know that fucking loser downstairs underneath me? Let's stomp on the floor a bit. Ah, you fucking fag. Hey, anyways, him, he said he has an accordion if we're interested.
Oh, shit. How much does he want for that?
I don't know. Considering he sold us a piano for so
$100. Yeah, we got $100. A fucking piano from this guy for $100. And
$50 each. So I tell everyone I paid $50 for it.
And
because we did.
It's a little out of tune, but I mean, it's a fucking piano.
And we can tune
$100.
It for $100. So we have this piano. Yep, and we could have an accordion. So that's two piano-type instruments. We need to really expand.
I think the little toy ukulele, it's done for. That's all I bought it for. It's finished. But we definitely need to build up our arsenal.
Well, we can still use everything that we accumulate over time. I don't know. It's pretty good. You can't really complain about that.
So the big news of the week is that we made an appearance on Keith and the Girl, my favorite ever podcast ever.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Episode 279. Anybody who doesn't listen to Keith and the Girl, go to katg.com.
Episode 279.
Right. And it's called How to Conduct an Interview.
Awesome.
And basically what happened is there's this guy who was doing this book thing where he was trying to go on podcasts
to
promote
his
book.
Paul
Malamut.
I was trying to find him on MySpace and I couldn't find him.
See, this is part of the trouble is that I learned too much about him. I got to know the enemy too much. But all right, so this guy, his publishing company was just going to podcasts saying, hey, you want to put us on your fucking show, regardless of what the show was. So that's how they got in touch with Keith Malley. And he's
right.
Like, man, what the fuck? This doesn't make any sense. Why the hell does this guy even know our show? This is stupid.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know what?
It
I don't feel like
stupid.
Doing this shit. He's like, you and Aaron, you guys want to be the fake Keith and the Girl? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's do that shit.
Then I heard it and I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this New York interview.
Yeah, Aaron went in blind. She didn't know
I
shit.
I had nothing. I had no idea. I was just reading the questions off the computer screen.
Yeah, pretty much. It was
like
just
going along with what the guy said.
Our impersonations were obviously thin at best.
We didn't even, I never even really, I don't know.
Somebody complimented your Hemda impersonation, though,
though
really? All it included was laughing a little too much and saying you were going to pee your pants. Well, that's all you
Thank
need.
Thank you.
I meant to drop my H's more to do the tings, but...
it's so hard when you're trying to do something else at the same time. Then, on top of that, you got to be somebody else.
Right.
And interview some guy you don't know nothing about.
It was fucking tricky, for
yeah,
sure.
It was pretty weird.
And initially, when Mally first emailed me and I started checking out this guy, I just wanted to tear him apart. I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? He doesn't care about Keith and the Girl. He doesn't know anything. And all my questions were totally ignorant.
Yeah.
And
I wish you would have said a couple of those. That would
yeah,
have
well,
funny.
See, the problem is I researched this guy too much. And I got to know him too much and just like
became
you know,
a little sympathetic to his cause.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm interested in guys. He just got his first book published. Someday I hope to have a book, whether published by a publisher or more likely just say fuck publishers. But, you know, so I was sympathetic to his whole situation. It's like, that's cool. This guy's got a book. He's trying to promote it. And mostly positive comments on our interview. But some people did think it was a little slow, and I think that's why. Because we didn't go for the kill. That's what they were expecting.
But, that's what they probably would have done.
Honestly, like
But they already
saying,
had been themselves. They would just have to have done the interview how they would have done it. But we had to be them and then do this interview that we didn't know.
Right.
So it's like the double whammy.
It was very tough to juggle all that stuff.
It was like getting fucked in the ass twice.
And I was actually...
the same hour.
I didn't even realize till I listened back to it. I was obviously more nervous than I thought I was because my voice, especially at the beginning of the interview, if you listen to it again, it's actually funny because my voice is like a little bit higher than normal, pretty noticeably. Like I heard that Howard Stern, that used to happen to him.
Really?
And he'd be on the air. Yeah, he said he wouldn't even...
Take off your shirt. I want to see your tits.
He said he wouldn't even notice it until later. He'd go back and be like, what the fuck's the matter with my voice? Like, why do I sound like a fucking Muppet here? So that was definitely happening to me. So basically, what I was saying to Aaron after we finished, and then when I mailed it to Keith Malley, was that this is our first one. You know, if we do another one, it'll be twice as good.
Yeah, we'll learn from it. Plus, no one has saw like our studio, as we like to call it, how we actually recorded the call.
Yeah, it was rough. It turned out okay, but our sound quality, it could have been better if we had a few little adjustments. But,
yeah,
but
it was okay.
I was thinking, like, any of you very few people who heard our old demo podcast, like, if you hear that compared to now,
it's like 2 million times better.
And this is good, right? Same thing with the...
you learn from your mistakes, essentially.
Like that... the stand-up that I sent in to Keith and the girl,
right?
As opposed to then I had a month to work on the one that I did in New York. When you guys see the New York one, it's like fucking 30 times better. It was so much better.
Right. So plus you were in front of a live audience too, and you just had some energy there.
Right. So as far as the call goes, I'm definitely not anyone who didn't like it. Basically, I'm saying fuck you. I'm not making any excuses, but I kind of understand where you're coming from. It's that it's everything takes work. It's like building a muscle.
It was hard.
The first time is always tricky.
You rip a little new hole, and you patch it back up, and then you had to rip it a little bit bigger.
Right.
We definitely had to rip a fair size.
And I definitely went more toward the legitimate interview, more so than just being a total ignorant dick. You know, maybe it wasn't the funniest possible route, but overall, I was pretty happy with how it went.
It was pretty funny.
Glad most people liked it. And, I mean, we could just tack it into our show, but come on. Keith and the Girl needs the downloads, right? So head over to KTG and download episode 279 if you haven't heard it. We try to help out the little guys whenever we can.
Yeah, they really need those downloads.
I was the only guy who didn't like it that I was a little disappointed was this guy DJ Quad.
I read that one.
Yeah, he has no arms and no legs, and he does a lot of computer stuff. So he's the guy who runs all of Keith and the Girl's computer shit and like their website.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Like makes all their programs and everything.
And he's basically a very famous member of the Keith and the Girl family. He comes up on the show all the time, and he called in, and like they know him a lot. They believe he's an integral part,
right?
So I was like, dude, like I don't care about all these other people that didn't like it, but kind of sucked that he thought it was boring because it sucks when families fight, you know. The Keith and the Girl family represent, but you know,
oh well,
what can you do?
You move on.
So one guy, this cracked me up. This guy was like, well, I kind of figured that interview would suck because I think Keith McNally is fucking full of himself. And I was like,
I didn't read that one.
Yeah, it was pretty new. I think that was just today. But basically, the only advice I have for that guy is, I don't know, man, being full of yourself is so much better than not being full of yourself because you only get what you think you deserve in this world. If you don't think you deserve to be cool and do stuff, you never will. However, if you think you deserve to open for Keith Malley, you think you have the ability to do a fake interview, all of a sudden these things start happening. Yeah. You're doing them.
Whereas what are we going to do next? Who knows? What if somebody else asks us to do something?
Yeah. And I mean,
we need to pour the water to the top and fill it up.
It's like,
get in there.
You got to be full of yourself to an extent. Like when people give you these opportunities, you got to say, like, yeah, I can fucking do that. Whoever that dude was, I don't even remember his name. You know, I have a feeling he doesn't sit around all day being full of himself, but what the fuck does he do? Who the fuck is he? Where is he going?
Who knows?
I mean, there's a difference between the strong ego and the inflated ego. I gotta admit, sometimes, I don't totally have that down. Every once in a while, I'm talking some shit I can't really back up, but that's better than not talking no shit at all,
as far
as I'm concerned.
I think that's right. Right on the nose.
Yeah. So, speaking of Keith Malley, he was listening to our last show, and his, many, many hundreds of episodes of experience with podcasting.
Oh, no, not this.
He has an editorial sensibility.
Mally.
He has an editorial sensibility that we lack. Because we brought up the fact that you had breast reduction surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And cruised right
that
past
surgery.
It. Right. We just kind of kept going. So he emailed. He's like, he knew that was the fucking topic of the day that we totally ignored.
We weren't really thinking about it. It just sort of came as like, whatever to me. We don't talk about it that much.
So, you know, I often wonder, too, with Keith Malley, since he is very good at hiding his drunkenness. I oftentimes wonder, like, I wonder if Keith Malley was drunk when he did such and such a thing or said such and such a thing.
Right.
Well, this email,
you think
who
I was drunk when I got my breast surgery?
No, I think he's drunk virtually all the time and you just can't tell. But his email, first line in caps, whoa! She had breast reduction and that's the end of it? Okay, so here's the questions. You can field these one at a time.
Okay.
How big were those buttes?
They were anywhere from size F to size G. Like, I had to get special bras made, so they were just huge. They took out about 10 pounds almost. It was like 9 and 8 ounces or something like that. Yeah.
So, how old are you now? You're 24, is that right?
25.
25.
Thanks for coming out.
How old was she when she got it done?
23. So, like, just a little over 2 years.
All right. And okay. And why? Why did you get it done?
Why do you think?
Like, day to day.
I looked like I had, like,
give us the rundown.
Pylons on my chest.
Was it just, though, that they were too big looking, or were you getting physical problems and stuff, too?
Oh, yeah. Your back just kills. You can't sleep on your side because they, like, hit you. You can't, like, sleep on your stomach because.
Did you ever have that thing where if you were lumpy. Jogging, they would, like, hit you in the face?
I had to wear two bras. I had to wear, like, a regular bra and then, like, a sports bra over top if I wanted to do any sort of physical activity at all.
Yes. That's
yeah,
awesome.
No. I have some of the old bras. They're just insane. They go over my head. They're bigger than the circumference of my head. Like, much bigger.
Do you still have those?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
oh,
we
yeah.
gotta take pictures or something.
I have everything. I kept all that.
Oh, well, speaking of that, that's the last question. Was she allowed to keep the extra fat?
Well, I asked if I could see it. And he was just like, why? It just looks like blood.
Sick.
And I was really, like, all over the place. It was Mardi Gras, and I put beads around the doctor's neck and stuff. It was a good time.
Were you high on medical drugs at the time?
Oh, after, yeah. I was just fucked. I puked all over the pharmacist, who was my old best friend's dad. Yeah, like, I actually barfed all over him in the counter.
And did your tits look all like Frankenstein after?
Yeah, they
like,
were like
stitches
well,
and black and green?
Oh, yeah. It was like, well, first I couldn't see it because I had to like all bandage up and I had to go the next day and get the bandages changed. But when he took the bandages off, the doctor, like, he's like, hey, close your eyes. And I was like, oh, great. Like, I'm awake now. Like, you know what I mean? And he's like, hey, just close your eyes. I'm not going to hurt you. He like took his fingers and his like thumb and his index finger and pinched both nipples as hard as he could. He's like, did you feel that? And I was like, yeah. He's like, good. And I was like, he's like, you're going to be okay. Your nerves are all lined up. I'm like,
that's a little
man,
known
seriously,
fucking medical
horrible.
Practice. Is
horrible.
That nipple pincher is part of the job description.
Yeah, on that side of the story, I guess. Oh, man. That was a scary day.
So, I don't know, any other interesting facts about first having huge tits and then not? What do you think?
Well, before, people would always like, I guess anywhere I would go, people would always have to be staring at my boobs.
Right.
It was really hard not
well,
to know.
Are you saying they don't now?
Well, yeah, I don't think it's... I think people look
but
at my face more. People actually pay attention to, like, what I'm talking about or what my face looks like
so
or talk
see,
to my mouth.
That's interesting.
Rather than staring at my boobs, I get, like, different kinds of reactions from people.
Because from a guy perspective, I just kind of assume all guys are always just looking at tits. But so you're saying when they're really big, it's even worse. It's
oh,
like
yeah.
Gravitational
like, you're, I guess
pull.
You're not really getting the point. Like, I'm just going to give you a roundabout size. If anyone can see right now, which you can, it's only Keith. So it's like, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's
like, it was
enormous.
Seriously, if I was standing here, I would not be able to see my feet. Oh, God. It was like I had a huge fucking J-Lo ass on my chest, but bigger and with nipples. Like, do you know what that's like?
No, I do not.
No, and the thing was, is it didn't just start. Like, it just didn't happen. It's like, this started when I was really young. Like, by grade 4, I had bigger boobs than my own mother.
Oh, man, that must be weird.
By my
awkward.
Own mother. Like,
did she resent it?
Yeah, she was, like, always making fun of me. She'd come to my bedroom with, like, my bras on her head dancing around. She didn't make it easy on me. She would tell me to take a broom, like, unscrew the back, you know, like how you can get the pole, and put it behind my arms to get my posture right because my boobs were pulling me down. And she had all these fancy tricks that I had to do to, like, increase, like, my posture so my boobs would be bigger. And I guess maybe that's what happened over time. And
man.
By, like, grade 9 or 10, I just started wearing really huge shirts. Like, big band shirts, like punk rock shirts, whatever, $10 shirts. Just nobody could tell. Because they were horribly huge.
So it was definitely, like, not at all proper for your body size.
No, like, and it was, then I was, by the time I was about 21, they were like a full size F. Like, if anyone understands what a full size F is, like, that's bigger than like Pamela, but not fake. So it was just huge. It just looked like, it made me look like so fat too, because I didn't have it. You couldn't see any part of my, like, because it just, it went down so low. Like, right. you're just, oh my God.
So they didn't even really have like a pleasant boob shape at that point. They were just so big.
They weren't really that saggy though. They were just huge. Like, right. It was just like, how much milk did I drink when I was a kid?
I wonder, like, is there anyone else in your family that has?
No.
So I wonder if it was like a hormone bovine thing.
I have bigger boobs now after the reduction than my mom and sister combined.
Wow.
My sister probably has like A size boobs, B size boobs. My mom maybe like a small B. I'm like at least a large
See,
C. So I'm bigger than both.
That's the touch of the Lord up in heaven. He's
that's
like
fucked up.
Give
I
the
know.
Boobs to that one. Give her extra. She'll enjoy that. And now medical science
so
comes
funny.
In and fucks
Dr.
up.
Dr. Dan
fucks up what the good Lord wanted you to have.
Maybe just, Dr. Dan and the Lord know
just
something.
Cut those out. You know, yeah. Just even though that's obviously what God wanted, that's the way the natural world was supposed to be. We'll just fuck around and take them out.
But a lot of people be like, you shouldn't do that. It's just like, you shouldn't just do that. Just live with the way you are. I'm like, live with the way I am. I'm like, have you ever tried going shopping for a shirt? You buy it extra large so it fits you in the boobs and it hangs over you like a fucking tablecloth? Like, it's not attractive. Like, the clothes I would wear would never fit me.
I'm with you
horrible.
For sure. I would
like,
totally
horrible.
Get that done as well.
Why not?
So, you didn't have to pay for that, right?
No, 100% free. But the most, I think...
Good old Canada.
Canada. Yeah, only free because it was, like, bothering my back and stuff. But I'd have to say that the most commonly, like, when people would ever ask, any man, if they ever found out, they're like, this is, like, my famous, like, line to everyone, every male in the world. Every time I said it to, like, a guy, they'd be like, oh, yeah? Well, I had my penis reduced. And I, seriously, if I had, a penny for every time I heard that, I would be so rich right now. I've heard it so many times. If anyone said that to me, they're like, oh, yeah, I'd have my penis reduced if it was too big. I'm just like, yeah. No, you wouldn't. Shut the fuck up. I hate when people say that to me.
I was a little disappointed.
So now, when they start saying, I'm like, no. Like, I already heard it.
I was a little disappointed that I had never thought of that. I was like, I can't believe I never said that, but... I guess I'm the only one who didn't think of that joke.
Thank God. I probably wouldn't. I don't like people who say it to me. Like, I automatically, it's like one of those things. I'll automatically hate you if you say it to me. Like, if I see you wearing Nike, I don't like you. And if you're going to say it to me, I don't like you either. And right. If I don't like your eyebrows, I'm not going to be your friend. And if I don't like your shoes, I'm not going to be your friend. And that's the way I am.
It's a fairly fucking rigid system. So,
right.
So my shoes that I sewed together myself with
those are fine.
Fishing line, they're good.
Yeah, those are fine.
My Frankenstein
shoes. Just like
shoes.
No Nike shoes, really. I don't really have any opposition to anything else.
Cool. So yeah, so now anyone who else who was you know, left hanging last week, who was thinking what only Keith Malley will say, there you go. That's the story of the boobs.
That's the story of the boobs, and I'm sticking to it. A few people seen the transformation. Some people don't. Everyone
you know,
will never know.
This talk of titties really got me thinking about how I think I might have brought this up before in one of our unaired old shit shows, but I'll bring it up again because it is a constant fucking thing in my life.
Right.
That, you know, people talk about like Buddhism and being one with the earth and so
right.
on and so forth. I think the way I would most be able to tell that I am relaxed and happy and okay with my place in the world is if I could see chicks, hot girls with their tits hanging out, you know, or wearing like tight shirts and stuff, and just be able to appreciate it and not be like, you know, feel like
all
it's like
prowly about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because like it's always like, oh man, I want to look at those, but then I feel all creepy, and it's like this horrible feedback cycle. If I could just go, man, damn, some nice titties. Thank you for displaying those. That's what I'm trying to achieve in life. That's when I will feel like whole.
I got
will
a
feel
story for you.
One. All right.
Just yesterday, me and Derek were walking down the street, right, coming home from the store, and there's this girl. She's walking about our distance apart, and she's walking like. We're walking the same direction, right? And she's got, like, this shirt on. And it's, like, the neck's cut really low, like an old 80s shirt. And it's, like, falling down her back. And her whole back is a tattoo. It looked like a pretty cool tattoo. And then she had, like, this bra on. But her shirt had fallen down to, like, down here. And me
right.
and Derek were like, what the fuck? Like, is her tits showing? And we're totally talking about it, like, as loud as we can, too. And she keeps, like, looking around. And we're watching other people's reactions as they're coming towards us to see, like, if they're looking. One old guy looked. One like, he totally looked. He was like, ooh! And he just kept on walking. So I was like, can you see her boobs? And then she turned around and did, like, a 180 and looked right at me. Or, like, right at us. And, like... Yeah, her, like, bra and boobs were just, like, hanging right out. And I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? And she looked, like, just haggard, too. Like, she just looked like an old lady. Like, she looked like she had a pretty good body and her tattoo was really nice, but her face just didn't match what was going on. It was weird.
Man, what made me think about this was on the SkyTrain yesterday, there was this Asian girl with just, man, the beautiful tits. They were, like, really big for an Asian chick and just, like, beautifully formed. And she was wearing this, like, little green tank top. And it's just, like, man, there was just... If I would glance over at her, it's like, oh, I shouldn't, you know, it's going to seem weird that I'm looking at her tits. But then if I'm deliberately not, I'm looking out the window of the SkyTrain, that feels weird because I don't want to be looking at the window of the SkyTrain. The tits are right there. And it's just, you know, it's like, it's like you're in a vice. And it's, I don't know what to do.
Oh, stuck between a rock and a rock.
Nice fucking titties. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's like if I ever was like a super richy and I could afford to go to like a psychotherapist or something, I think that's where I would start. I'd be like, all right, doc, here's the problem. You know,
that is a pretty good question.
And from there, you know, I'm sure because I have
we should
feeling.
Get a, like an interview with like a shrink someday.
Yeah,
that'd be super funny. Ask him all sick, twisted questions.
Well, I wonder, like, there's probably various underlying things, reasons why I'm just so, you know, why everyone's so compelled toward tits. And I have a feeling if I could, like, if I could figure this out, you know, because they're just tits. It's just fat on some chick's chest. It's like, what the fuck? It's got to have something to do with.
Maybe you weren't breastfed or something. Or not breastfed enough.
My mama doesn't have very big boobies. I don't know if that
has anything to do with it. Maybe she didn't have any milk. Yeah, maybe that's what it has something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't
You're
know.
Like, my mom don't got no boobs. I didn't get to look at new boobs when I was a baby. Now I want more boobs. But speaking of, like, psychology and stuff, I came up with this, like, theory. Or not a theory, but maybe a theory. Do you think there's, like, a psychology to paper, rock, scissors to, like, psych the other person out by, like, the way you look at them and the way you're going to throw the paper or the rock?
Kind of like poker,
like a
but
pattern?
Way simpler?
Like, if you do paper, they're going to do this. Or if they do scissors, you're going to do
rock?
There
probably is, yeah. Although it's probably not universal. You probably need to know your subject, like, for each person you play
like
against.
Different types of people, yeah.
Yeah, or, like, learn their tells to see what they're going to do.
Yeah. Like, if they're scratching their ear, that means they're going to throw a rock. Or
do you remember that Simpsons where Bart and Lisa were doing it? And Lisa's like, poor predictable Bart always chooses rock. And he's like, good old rock. Nothing beats that.
Yeah. Like that. Exactly.
Except not that simplified, obviously.
But yeah, like reading the other person's, like if you're like challenge paper, rock, scissors, like
right.
To the death.
So I was thinking this kind of, I don't know how this relates at all to what we were talking about, but whatever. Fuck it. Jump onto this new topic.
Right.
You know how you got like Siskel and Ebert, thumbs up, thumbs down, or the 10 stars or 5
shocker.
Stars.
Yeah, that's what I would give.
Well,
I give 2 shockers out of 3.
I was thinking how none of these review systems really work. They're so subjective, you know? It's like, who can really tell? Like, I even found out the Siskel and Ebert one, or Ebert and Roper. It just means that they think a movie is worth watching, not even that it's necessarily good. A thumbs up just means it's interesting in some way. This is how I think everything should be reviewed. This is the only review system that makes sense to me at all.
Okay. The interesting system?
It's called the pornography review system. Because porn is always interesting at a fundamental level. It's like, as a guy, I can't say for a girl, but okay. For a guy, we dig the porn, right? But there's nothing like that keeps you coming back to a specific porn thing. It's like, whatever, it's just porn, it's disposable. We're always going to like it, but it never engages you like on a deep level at all.
Right.
So I was thinking that is like the ultimate level ground. If something is more interesting than porn, then that's a good movie, or that's a good book, or that's a good whatever.
Okay.
But if it's less interesting than porn, if you would rather just go watch some porn and beat off, then it sucks. That's the divider as far as I see it.
Okay.
That's like, I would strive in life to make things that people find more interesting than
porn.
It's
a little more interesting than porn.
Right. That's the only review system that makes sense to me. If we're ever reviewing stuff on the show, that's how I'm going to review it. Would I rather watch naked titties, or would I rather watch whatever it is? And to me, that's an unbeatable review system.
Obviously, it's not going to hold up too well, but we can make our own.
I think it'll
Aaron and Keith well. Review system.
How would that not hold up?
I think it has some ground. I was also. What do you think about this for like getting into something pornographic? What do you think about adult like drawing books, like adult coloring books?
Are these for like, sensible-brained adults or for retard adults?
No, like for us, like me and you. I don't know, anybody, just whatever. But like make like a coloring book of like instead of like little dogs with balls, like on a beach with a towel.
Right.
You know, it could be like a pinup girl or you know like some like drug paraphernalia ones and like all sorts of like crazy adult like people having sex and like just whatever penises like coloring book.
But do you think that would just be for the initial humor of it or would people actually sit down and color
I think
it.
I would. I like coloring. I just don't like coloring in little kids' books because it's boring and the pictures suck.
Right.
But I'm really thinking that someone will market this
maybe if we can like jump on the internet and find black and white pictures that are simple enough that they could be colored. I'm sure there's got to be stuff we could find.
Yeah, we should make like an adult coloring book. I've always wanted to do this since like a couple days ago when I heard about somebody
then,
else. Somebody
I
else talked about always. This and I stole the idea. I lied. It wasn't my idea. I heard about it.
And nothing's ever anybody's idea. Well, that's not true. But a lot is taken from people.
Did you hear that Snoop Dogg's kicked out of the United Kingdom?
Yeah, he got in a big battle.
But like he's Brawl. Not allowed back anywhere.
Battle
like,
royal.
Not in Scotland or England or anywhere, right? He's gone. That's so funny. Like, can you kick somebody out of a country?
I guess.
I didn't know that. I never heard of that before. You can't come back to our countries.
It seems a little excessive for fucking Snoop Dogg. Like, what the hell? Who's he going to hurt? He's Snoop Dogg.
He's so stoned. He doesn't know what he's
Seriously.
Doing.
Seriously. Just ignore him for a couple of minutes. Whatever weird shit's going on, he'll get interested in something else. And there you go.
Exactly. ADD at its finest.
Man, all of my notes all seem to be about porn shit. Why does that keep happening, Aaron? Every
I don't
week?
Know.
What's up with that?
This porn, boob surgery.
I just don't get it.
Porn coloring books.
Because my next little thing that I was going to bring up is...
bring it up.
Living in Vancouver especially, this is like Asian Central. Like, there's, man, do we have over 50% yet?
I don't know.
It's coming soon. I think I was reading like by like 2007, it'll be over 50% Asians. But... it's all the different kinds of Asians that don't like each other. So it's not like they're going to gang up and take over or anything.
Okay. I wasn't worried at all. Or did I even notice or care?
No, me either.
Okay.
But I was just thinking that, like, pedophiles and shit,
right.
Why don't they just get Asian girlfriends? I have seen some of the smallest fucking Asian women in my life. They're so fucking little. It's insane.
Yeah,
they're
like 4 feet tall.
Yeah, they're like midget size, but they're not midgets. And I just, man, so little. To me, that would solve the problem. I mean, if you just like little, young-looking people,
and
that's
some of them look like boys.
Yeah,
there
and,
you go.
I don't know. Whenever I see them,
two birds, one stone.
If I was like a guy who made porn, right, I would not be able to resist just for the novelty of it. Just being like giving them my card and being like, come on, what do you think? I need you to sit on a giant African dick. I got to see this. I have to. I'll pay you any amount of money.
Yeah,
but
it would sell for sure.
That's probably why I would not be a very successful porn making guy, though, is that I would just get, you know, it'd be the freaks that I would totally just follow.
Yeah,
like you look weird. I need you.
Yeah, that's super funny. I say that, like, you'd have, like, what would you call it? Like, circus porn? Like, really strange people with having sex with really, like, really more strange people? Like, the big African guy, like that Lex Steel guy up against, like.
I guess that'd be my thing, too. With my porn review system, my porn would have to be more interesting than normal porn. You know? That's the only way.
There you go.
So,
you can apply that rule to everything. You've got it made.
All right. So, I got something here that's not porn, finally.
Okay.
It's...
I don't. Just
my friend Marcus was reading this book about the globalization of the world and how it's all becoming... like one, smaller thing. And this is just... seems so fucked up. But apparently, it is way more efficient. Saves tons of money. It's at McDonald's. If you go to certain McDonald's in the States and you pull up to the drive-thru and give your order, it's not going to anybody in that store. It'll go to a call center, God knows where. They're still in America for now, but soon I'm sure it'll head to fucking India or whatever, where someone in the call center takes your order and then sends the order back to the store, back to the kitchen, but not even in words, in pictures. And so the fucking retards that work there don't even need to be able to read or listen. They just see a little picture.
They make that.
And it takes a picture of you as you drive through the drive-thru. So they'll go, okay, fries, double cheeseburger, goes to Beardo. And there you go. Ding. And somehow that is more efficient. That's fucked up.
That's weird. Well, it's kind of like you don't have to really interact with the customers. Then you just make the food and that's it.
Yeah.
That's weird, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Is it really that big of a deal?
It's cool in
a way.
Having
one person on cash, is that really that big of a deal?
Well, I mean, people in
drive-thrus,
though... do fuck shit up all the time. Like,
true.
They always get the wrong stuff. Apparently, this makes it like 30% faster and so however much more efficient. So it seems to work, but it's just weird that the world is so connected now that you can do that. You can just send your drive-thru order to another fucking state and then it comes back and then you get your burger. Man.
That's just too much.
It blows my mind, baby.
That's just weird because, I don't know. Just like think of if every food chain that has a drive-thru started doing that eventually.
Yeah.
So where do you work? Oh, I work at the McDonald's call center.
Wouldn't that be the fucking most monotonous, horrible call center job in the world?
Two burgers, one fries,
yeah.
Large shake, milk, vanilla. No, wait, chocolate.
You'd be glad when people like wanted no pickle, so you could press the little picture.
You'd be looking for something to do.
I wonder whether it shows for that.
You like, surf the menu.
Does it show a little cartoon pickle or
extra
a little onion
ketchup
with like a little no, like Ghostbuster sign?
Yeah.
No onion. A little onion's crying or something?
Yeah, probably. That's like, weird.
Soon no one will have to read. No one. Everything will just be pictures and stuff.
That'd be really weird too. Go to law school through pictures. Med school. Ask Dr. Dan if they've got any med school.
See if he got
pictures
to pinch any nipples in his time.
Ouch.
Did it hurt? Like, how hard did he pinch?
Pretty fucking, like, harder than anything. Plus, it probably just hurt a whole bunch because they just gotten removed from my body and then sewn back down.
Oh.
Like, they were actually off my body. Isn't that weird?
Was there any, like, bleeding or anything afterward?
Oh, God. Bleeding? Oh, yeah. There was way more than that.
Really?
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Like, pus and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget the smell.
Holy shit. How long did that go on for?
Like, 2 months.
So would you wake up in the morning with, like, your shirt, like, just caked with weird
pus
and blood?
No, I wore, like bandages on it all the time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
So,
it took a while for it to get, like, not hurting.
Do you think it was worse as a reduction, or do people get, like, breast implants? Do they go through that same type of shit, I wonder?
I don't know, but they put them in through, like, the armpits, I think.
Yeah,
they
I've
cut
heard
it out
that.
Of
or
the
they
here.
Can cut around your nipples sometimes, too. And
yeah, sometimes. It depends on, like, how you are shaped and stuff, I think, or how you want it done. I don't really know anything about that, nor do I really care.
But it's still got to be. I mean, you're putting this totally foreign thing into your body. I bet it's still pretty brutal.
I've seen a program on TV where they actually were, some girls were really sick and they removed them and they were all black and full of like disease and everything. Just
wouldn't that be
poison.
Awesome if somehow your implant was full of beetles or bugs or something?
Yeah, it was like just
start
they were
crawling into your
They
tits.
Went in as a clear white fluid. They came out blacker than.
Oh, fuck. Black as night.
None more black.
None more black.
They came out so black.
I saw one of those operation shows. I can't resist those when they're on TV.
They're weird.
They're so sick that I can't help watching them. Where this
they're
chick was
sick.
Getting a facelift. And the guy was just like, he would slit into the face and just put it. I was amazed at how uncareful they seemed to be. Where he would just put his fingers like right underneath the skin and it's just like rubbing them around. You could see his fingers under her face skin. It was so fucking sick.
I know. It is so fucking sick.
Man.
I don't even want to know what went on.
Yeah, any non-essential fucking cosmetic surgery is insane. It's fucking insane. I can't believe people do that stuff.
I know. To get their eyebrows lifted up or like...
Yeah. Your little tummy tucks and fucking bullshit.
It's just exercise.
Man.
Like, did you see in the paper the other day that like 350-pound woman? She's on the cover and she's like...
I don't want to die.
I don't want to die.
Before my time.
Before my time. That was the exact quote. A 350-pound woman on the cover. I don't want to die before my time. And then you open the page. The government won't give me stomach surgery or whatever that... Where
right.
they remove part of the stomach. It's like... Okay, stop eating so much.
Yeah.
Slowly start working out. Maybe go see a doctor. Maybe you should have started when you're 200 pounds.
Or one thing that apparently works.
Pisses me off super fat people.
I know. There is
I
no excuse
them.
For it. I mean, if there was like the genetic aspect of it, if there were big fat fucking Ethiopians walking around, then you might have something. But that's, no, it doesn't
no.
happen.
What are you eating? And don't lie.
Yeah, because
it's
like,
showing.
There are. I mean, there's bigger people, obviously. But yeah, when you get to the point where you're 350 pounds,
like
in that Super Size Me documentary
yeah.
about McDonald's, there were these two big fatties who drank fucking, like, it was like they each drank 8 liters of pop a day. Like,
yeah.
4 2-liters. Like, what? That's sugar water, you idiots. So, but one of them got his stomach stapled.
Yeah.
So that
he could only eat a little bit of food.
Yeah, and he lost tons of weight. So maybe that big fatty should try
no,
that.
It does work, and it will work, but I mean... Why does it just... It just seems so abstract to get to that point.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, but at least it's not just getting the fat vacuumed out of you like Big Fatty in the paper wanted, you know? At least that's
yeah.
sort of a little more sensible in a way. I don't
yeah,
know.
I don't know. Either one.
It's like, I was born with a huge belly. I can't help it. I'm always hungry.
I gotta keep it full. I'm always hungry.
That would suck though, just to be super fat, but you're always hungry. It's just like living in hell. Like, what are you gonna do? You can't eat, but you can't not eat. So in that case, I don't know, stomach stapling might be better. At least you feel full and you're not fucking gorging yourself. But.
Yeah, you're always full, apparently.
But yeah, like back
eat
in
a
the
pee and you're like, oh. oh.
In the ancient days,
might have seconds.
You know, it was only the big fat Buddha that everyone was looking after who was a big fatty, you know? Like, you should be fucking lucky that you were born in an age where you can get that fat, you know? If that's not proof of our success as the human race, man, I don't know what is. Like,
yeah, back in the day, it was honored if you had a fat wife because it means you had a lot of food to feed her.
Yeah, for sure. Now it's like,
now it's like, well, I'm not going to be eating for a couple weeks. I need to shrivel up like a supermodel. Not fun.
I was thinking of maybe throwing some Brockett 99 on this episode. So why don't you, since no one outside of the, what are the middle three provinces, the flat provinces?
Alberta has mountains.
No one, oh, I guess. Nobody
There's
else
Alberta,
has ever heard
Saskatchewan,
of Brocket.
There's Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba.
Because, well, Brocket 99, the way I heard of it was my aunt used to teach in Manitoba on some Indian reservation, and her boyfriend got this tape of this thing, Brocket 99, and we thought it was the funniest fucking thing ever. But then... Right. I still got it. Years later, we did like searches on the internet. We couldn't find it. No one. It seems like nobody knows about it except these select few Canadians. But then Aaron was like, "Brocket 99." Sure, I know what that is. So give us the middle of Canada perspective on Brocket.
Brocket 99. I don't know the true story behind it. This just seems like a legend almost. It's like right. Indians are have their legends, and this seems sort of like the legend that was like within
the anti-Indian
yeah, the
legend.
Yeah, the anti like sort of like reverse legend, if you want to. Call it that. Yeah, I don't know. I was like my aunt, my mom, like you said, like my mom and dad had the tapes too, and I think it was these guys who used to like pirate the radio station. Like it was even in Saskatchewan or like Manitoba, like these two white guys, and they would like they pillage in the radio station, then they made this like mock Aboriginal radio about like, you know, but
they
savage
sure
but it was nothing like nice. It was like, oh yeah, 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 we're going down to the store there, buddy, we're gonna pick up a Lysol 249, get super drunk as if you fucking cunts. Like it was just like that, like just rank talking about Indians and trashing them, and there's a whole, they made a whole bunch of episodes, but then I think they got in super shit for it. And it just never, like, spoke of. But so many people in Saskatchewan knew about it. Like, see, it's sort of like a thing.
That's one thing I'm wondering now. I've got about an hour of Brocket shit, but I'm wondering, maybe there's more. Maybe there's shit that I didn't even have. It's like, man.
Yeah, there was more than one episode.
I would love to get that shit.
It's so great.
It's so funny. So, how many, what percentage Native are you? Like, one...
Eighth or something?
So
yeah,
you,
my mom's dad was full Indian.
Are you one-eighth offended by Brocket 99?
No. I think it's funny. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me at all.
I'll chop it up into some pieces and just start throwing it into the shows because I think it's fucking great. And although I had it on a CD for so long that one of the tracks fucking got corrupted and doesn't work anymore. And it's like, oh, it could be gone forever.
All right.
But yeah,
well,
so
I say go it.
That'll be our little
go for it.
End of show fucking spiel. Brocket 99. Rocking the teepees of Brocket.
And then next week on an all new Logoria, maybe I will present a theme song. Come for the logo, stay for the Rhea. Will you stay? Will you come? Who knows? I said, will you come?
We just need to, if we ever had like a phone system, you know, callers and stuff, like it'd just be like, spell Logoria, you know? If you can spell, you win something.
Like spelling bee.
I think, though, that's like we were talking about earlier, that we got this weird, obscure name. Even after hearing us on Keith and the Girl, people were like, man, you guys seem funny. Like, I was trying to find your show, and I had to search like crazy on Podcast Alley.
Like,
what can I say?
Why don't you just copy and paste?
Well, it's not even listed anywhere directly. They would have to go into the forums and stuff. I think Spooky gave everyone the lowdown. But it's like, if you can't find it, I'm sorry. It's the treasure at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, you got to look for that treasure.
That's right. You got to fucking
be
earn
the Goonie.
This shit.
Yeah, and you guys, you get out there and you find that fucking treasure.
If we were going to make it easy to find our show, like,
we would have called it the show.
We would have called it
ass.
Yeah,
your mom.
I'm trying to think of what we could have called it.
We could have called it a lot of other goddamn things, but we called it Logoria.
We'll never go back. Never. Not for you.
Not for anyone. Well, and that's a wrap.
Hey, do you want to hear my theme song again?
Okay. All right. We'll end with the theme song.
Wait.
Wait. Here it comes. Theme song. Now.
L-O-G-O.
So awesome. I still like it. I didn't realize it was going to be like techno-y Asian.
Well, it wasn't until I went and put a bunch of fucking effects on it.
It was way better like that.
Yeah. So we'll see you fucking dickheads next week.
Bye, assholes.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Assholes, right?
Yeah, fuck you guys. Whatever.
This is Rocket 99, rocking the reservation in stereo.
Roger, up and at 'em, it's 8:30 on the reservation with Ernie Scar. Good morning, here's some AC/DC to get your day started right. That's a flick of the switch. On the reservation's hottest rock for Rocket 99, AC/DC. All right, rock and roll. It's Ernie Scarring with you this morning. How you doing, reservation? Time to get up and get at 'em. If you got a job to go to today, it's going to be tough if you're working outside. Not a very good day. Kind of gray, kind of overcast. Let's take a look at the forecast.
Reservation weather.
As a matter of fact, 30% chance of rain today. Look for a high of 6, low overnight tonight of 0, and a chance of frost. Cover up the stinkweed. Winds west today, 37, gusting to 55, 40% chance of showers. So overnight tonight, weekend's going to be cloudy and cool. Stay in and stay warm today if you can. 6 degrees right now.
From Rocket 99. Rocking a TV's a rocket.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown Canada number one corn on the cob. Value priced at 3 cobs for 88 cents.
Doing it right. Fuck.
Sorry about this. I didn't know it was fucking goddamn Whitey produced fucking commercials. Never come out the right way. Okay. Safeway's got everything that's 88 cents for the corn and everything you need for a super summer barbecue. Charcoal, starter, napkins, and paper plates at Brockett Safeway. Are you ever bothered by itchy feet and foot odor in your moccasins? Well, no problem. This is Ernie Cat Face for Dr. Shaw's foot powder. And you can get your powder right at the Brockett General Store. Sprinkle a little bit in the moccasin and it rubs out the greeblies in there. If you haven't taken a bath for a couple of days, just put it in. No problem. There's a big sale on it. And you can pick yours up for only $14.99 a bottle at the Brockett General Store, 14th Avenue South. Ever find yourself sitting around wondering, hey, what can we do tonight? Well, wonder no more, because you can get ripped if you go down to the 7-Eleven and pick up Lysol spray, either unscented or plain. Of course, you can't get it in the Brockett General. Just zip into Cardston and get some at the Red Rooster. And if you're looking for something hot, listen, take it from one who knows. So how can you argue with that? Get down to the Red Rooster store in Cardston and pick up your can of Lysol today. Either regular or fresh scent too that comes in the blue can. This is Ernie Crying Head for Lysol.
23 before 9.
Hey, Paulie, you're on Keith and the Girl.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Not bad. So, to bring everyone up to speed,
I'm Keith Malley.
And it's Hemda.
I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good? Cheesy burger, cheesy fries, do they ain't about the size? Do they good with type of two? Now my way or all they do? I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good? Crimson Dime Mac and Eating. I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good?
She got lips like stereo. With the bass and treble down.
She got teeth like microwave.